from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Keeping an eye on the Olympics right now, the United States women's team, they are playing Japan right now. They are up 56-39 in that one. It is the middle of the third quarter. The United States women going for another gold medal. This is their first game in the Olympics as well. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to be joined by the Hall of Famer George Brett. Will be on the show coming up in 1 hour. I got a chance to talk to George Brett for about 30 minutes today. Really excited to play that conversation for you guys coming up at 4 o'clock. He is the second Hall of Famer on the show today. The first Hall of Famer is friend of the show, Denny Matthews. Always a privilege to catch up with him and recap the weekend. It was a great weekend at Kauffman Stadium. Friday night, it reminded me of 2015. I'm out there. It's 36,000 people. There's a buzz. There's an energy. There's lines to get food. Salvador Perez hits a big home run. The Royals win. We get fireworks. It felt like a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, it really was, and I agree with you. It did seem like a few years ago, and the crowd was very enthusiastic, and that always helps. But, yeah, it was a good, clean game, well-pitched, and the Royals scored 6 in one inning, and that was it. That was the story of that game, and then the games 2 and 3 of the series didn't go, obviously, the way that everybody wanted them to, but the Cubs had really not been much offensively. In fact, they were in the lower part of the National League offensively, but their bats came alive in the last two games, and they scored some runs, and the Royals didn't do much at all offensively after the fourth inning on Sunday.
You can sense the buy-in, and we'll talk more specifically about the individual result of these games, but you were starting to see the fan buy-in, in my opinion. They got 21,000 people on Tuesday against Arizona. This weekend, Friday was packed. Saturday was packed. Sunday was a good crowd for Royals and Cubs as well. You can really sense a turn in the attendance as this team starts to play in more important games.
Yeah, you could feel that about a month ago. But know this, the Cubs and the Cardinals have always drawn at Kauffman Stadium. And it really doesn't depend on how either team is doing, because you're going to get a lot of Cardinal fans here. You're going to get a lot of Cubs fans here. And on the other hand, you get a lot of Royals fans in Chicago, Wrigley Field. I doubt if there's going to be that many in Chicago tonight or tomorrow night or the next day, but the White Sox are so bad. But there'll be a few Royals fans that go to the games in Chicago, but the Cubs and the Cardinals are magic. It's just one of those things that they draw. They're Midwest. There are a lot of transplanted St. Louisans here. There's a lot of transplanted Chicago people in town, and they show up. And I wish we played the Cardinals and the Cubs more than just one series apiece every year. Be nice to have them in here for 3 series. That would be a boon to the attendance.
It was really crazy to see it because we talk about national brands, and you mention it, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, the Yankees, those kind of teams. It was crazy to really see the power of the Cubs brand, and you're walking around and people got Alfonso Soriano jerseys. He hasn't played for that team in 15 years. They got Chris Bryant. Like, I really saw how popular the Cubs was this weekend.
Yeah, and that all stems from all the games that were on WGN years ago. People became attached to the Cubs because that was really the only everyday baseball you could get. And at that particular point in time, the Royals didn't televise any home games. They televised some of the road games. But the Cubs and the Braves used the cable, and their product was available every day, every night, and that created a ton of fans for those teams.
Right now, we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Let's get to the series. If this team narrowly misses the postseason, I think it's going to really come down to one stat. So far this season, the Royals, they are 3-11 in rubber games. Wednesday was a game you had to figure out a way to win. On Sunday, you mentioned the runs and the lack of offense. They had two opportunities in this series to win the series against Arizona and the Cubs, and they lost both of them.
Yeah, and the same pattern held true in both series. Royals win the first game and then come up short in the next two. Is that a trend? You hope not, because now you're going in to play the White Sox, who really couldn't beat anybody. And if you can't win three, two being, if you win two, okay. If you win three, you should. Less than that is disaster, really, because the White Sox are that bad. So from there, you go to Detroit. Detroit is better this year than they have been in the last 3 or 4 years. That's going to be a challenging series, too.
Denny, what are you seeing from James McArthur? I've seen frustration from Royals fans, possibly wanting a change at that closer spot. There's not a lot of great options, I would say, in the Royals bullpen. They're sort of stuck in that regard. What are you seeing from McArthur? Because he had a stretch of about a month and a half where he was actually pretty serviceable. That is not how the last couple of appearances have gone.
No, and I see a pitcher, it's pretty simple. I see a pitcher who's not pitching with confidence. And it's no more complicated than that. I don't know if it's command of certain pitches or a pitch, or whether he's not quite as confident with his stuff as he has been in the past, but it's very simply a pitcher who's not pitching with confidence. And when that happens, like, the results usually aren't very good.
Everybody hears that and thinking, well, if you see a pitcher that is lacking confidence, he can't come in high leverage ninth inning situations. What would you do if you were the manager here? Are you going to continue to pitch McArthur and hope that he kind of gets himself out of it, or do you think it's time to make a change?
Well, you know what you could do, and this guy's been consistently good most of the year, and the left-hander Serpa has been consistently good. Well, put him in the nine spot. Ninth inning. See what he does. Is he as consistent? Is he as good in inning nine as he has been in six, seven, eight, wherever Q's used him? But he's the one right now who's the most consistent. So put him in the closer spot. If he closes, great. You got something going. Put McArthur in the six or seven inning and let him get his confidence back. And then if he does, and if he becomes effective, now you have a real nice combination of a right-hander and a left-hander who are effective, and that's good news for innings eight and nine.
What makes this race so fun to me is, I mean, you have, I would say, a handful of teams. Minnesota is one game ahead of the Kansas City Royals. Boston is a game back of the Kansas City Royals. Seattle's a game and a half. Tampa Bay. I mean, you have just four or five really flawed teams, and as we really hit the go button, where it's about 60 games left in the season, 2 months of the year, and a lot of these teams still play each other. Boston comes to Kansas City next week. You still got games against Minnesota. It's going to be a really fun two-month stretch, as one of these teams is likely going to figure it out and get hot down the stretch.
Yeah, perhaps, and you have, my opinion is you have a number of good teams. You don't have any great teams. And so everybody's pretty equal. And so who's going to rise to the top? Well, we'll find out in 2 months. But, yeah, I don't see a real power team just coming down the stretch and just obliterating everybody else. I don't think that's going to happen.
Denny, as we are closing out the month of July, I want you to think back, and this could be a while. Can you remember a Royals player that had a month better than what we've just seen from Bobby Witt Jr.? I mean, since the All-Star break, leading into the All-Star break, he has just been red hot. He has been the best player in baseball over the last 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that you're going to talk to George Brett later on in the afternoon. Well, I've seen Brett have hot streaks that would equal the hot streaks of Witt. And, of course, you have to remember that the year that George hit 390, boy, you've got to have a lot of hot streaks and hot weeks and hot months to achieve that number, to come that close to 400. So, yeah, those two guys, we've talked about them side by side before, and you just raised the question, and we could put them shoulder to shoulder once again.
It's funny when we talk about like five-tool guys in baseball, and that's a term that we throw out there. It's one thing to see it every single day, like with Bobby Witt Jr. I don't know what his weakness is. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. He can hit for speed. He can defend. Like, we talk about five-tool players, and sometimes those guys are like three-tool or maybe four-tool. I don't know what Bobby Witt Jr.'s weakness is, and that puts him in the conversation of best player in the game.
Well, I've heard through the grapevine that he's not that great with paint by numbers. But I don't know if that's true or not. But that might be the only thing that he can't do better than play baseball. But he's been blessed with every single ability that you need to play the game of baseball to that extent. Great arm, good power, good range, good defender. He works hard. It's great natural talent, but he works hard. And yeah, it's something to watch, because you don't normally see a player who's been gifted with all those different tools, the speed, the power, the feel for the game. He's got a great baseball IQ, and he's not that old. He's not that experienced, but you would think he was late 20s, early 30s, the way he plays and thinks the game. And then you couple that with those great abilities, that physical gifts, those physical gifts that he's been given, and you got somebody special.
Denny, you and I have never talked about this before, but I think baseball has the trade deadline at the absolute perfect spot. We have seen 100 games from everybody. It's after the All-Star break. It's 2 months to go in the regular season. At this point, you should be finalizing your roster and making a playoff push. I think baseball has it right with where they have each year's trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And you're right. You know what you've got. You know what you don't got. And so you have to make some moves if you really want to get down to the last week or so and have a chance to get into the tournament. And I think all teams are more or less jockeying for position, and it's going to be fun to watch.
That is Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, joining us on the show today. The Royals, they have 3 games on the road against the White Sox, and then they go to Detroit to play 4 games against the Tigers. Denny, it's always an honor to talk baseball with you. We appreciate you.
Always fun, Carrington.
That is Denny Matthews joining us on the show today. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we are going to have George Brett join us on the show today. Simply put, he is one of the greatest baseball players to ever play. You guys know the time. Every day around 3:15, I give you a different NFL thought. We have an NFL game coming up in a couple of days, the Hall of Fame game. I'm high on the Chicago Bears. I'll tell you why. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Got this. Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
All right, you know what? Today I'm going to give you two NFL thoughts today. Somebody on the text line gave me an idea. You know what? I will answer your question and make it part of my NFL thought. The first one coming up in 3 days. We get our first look at this year's version of the Chicago Bears. You guys know that they had the number one overall pick, and they went out and they got Caleb Williams, former Heisman Trophy winner, out of USC. Listen to the offense that they have put together around Caleb Williams. They have DeAndre Swift, a guy who's run 4,000 yards in his career. You look at the wide receiver room, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Romo Dunze. I think Romo Dunze has a chance to be a star potentially in this league. He had a great career at the University of Washington. You've got Cole Kmet at tight end. You have a couple of decent offensive linemen. You look at their defense. You got Montez Sweat. You made the trade with the Washington Commanders. You look at that linebacker room, Jalen Johnson, one of the better corners in the National Football League. I think the Bears are going to be good this year. I think the Bears are going to be competitive this year. I think the Bears have a chance to make the postseason. In fact, when we officially give you our picks, one of my favorite segments that we do all year, I am here, Rob is here, Sean Barber is here. I'm picking the Bears to be a wild card team. Listen to this schedule. Tennessee, Houston, Indianapolis, the Rams, Carolina, Jacksonville, Washington, Arizona, New England. That's the first 9 games of the season. There is only one team on there that I think you say, I don't know about that one. On the road against Houston, week 2, Sunday Night Football. All right, the Bears are probably losing that one. But all these other games, they can win. And I like the Rams this year, but you got to go on the road to Los Angeles for a noon game. We've seen how those West Coast teams are when they got to go. I'm telling you, folks, Go ahead and get on board. Get on board now, because when Hard Knocks starts and the Bears score on their first possession here on Thursday during the Hall of Fame game, everybody's going to be on the wagon. So go ahead and get on while the getting's good. The Chicago Bears grabbing a wild card spot and making the postseason. Three postseason teams are coming out of the NFC North, and the Bears are going to be one of those teams. That is my first NFL thought for the day. Rob, I'm sure you got some hateration, holleration about this. Who's your surprise team in the NFL? I don't know if we would count Chicago as that, but they were the ninth overall pick next year. You want to know what team I'm also kind of high on? I'm kind of high on Tennessee heading into this season. I think Tennessee might be a little better than you think.
I mean, if you want a worst to first idea, if you want a worst to first notion, if you want a surprise, oh, I didn't see them coming type of team, it's not the Bears. Everyone sees the Bears coming. And I'm not per se disagreeing with you on the Bears. I don't think the Bears make the playoffs, but I think the Bears are going to be much improved. But if you want a sneaky, hey, how they're going to do this year, but keep an eye on them, it's the Arizona Cardinals. We have not talked about it a lot because the draft happened. He didn't end up as a Chief because, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. might be one of the best receivers in football, and he hasn't played a snap yet. He might be the best college wide receiver we've ever seen. He is better than any of the Ohio State guys who, by the way, are just keep pumping out stats in the league. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray is a great start, and that team played really well down the stretch last year when Kyler got healthy again. Soft schedule, a division that's ripe for the taking, because I'm not super high on San Francisco. All of a sudden, they're noisy. I'm not buying the Seahawks. I'm definitely not buying the Rams. Like, if you want a sneaky, keep your eye on that team, it's going to be the Arizona Cardinals.
Text line 913-586-7610. The top two text. I think the Bears fan base is going to wish they kept Justin Fields. Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. Someone else. Caleb Williams is soft. He's going to be Kyler Murray 2.0. Talented, but a little crybaby. Hold on here. We're talking about the same Kyler Murray that is a true freshman at Oklahoma, threw 21 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. We're talking about the same Kyler Murray that as a sophomore won the Heisman Trophy with 42 touchdown passes. The same Kyler Murray last year who threw for 30 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions on a team that couldn't stop a nosebleed. That Kyler Murray is going to be a bust. That guy? Okay. Rob, can you explain to me, and you're a good person to ask this to, can you explain to me why we're harder on Caleb Williams coming out of college than we were about Trevor Lawrence? Because you remember when Trevor Lawrence was coming out of school, he was a savior. He was the best quarterback prospect that we had ever seen, and Trevor Lawrence was going to be, he was going to revolutionize the position. Caleb Williams is a better prospect than he was. A better prospect. Caleb Williams threw more touchdown passes in college and threw few interceptions. He was a better player and had a higher completion percentage. What are we doing?
You want to know why people are hard on Caleb Williams? Two words, painted nails. You know the way I know when people are different or quirky or whatever the term you want to use, and they do stuff that's outside of what we think is the norm, we hate them. You're different. You're not like the rest of them. Trevor Lawrence was prototypical. That is what we think an NFL quarterback looks like, acts like, talks like. Caleb Williams was not that. Caleb Williams was jumping in the crowd and crying with his mom. Caleb Williams was wearing, you know, colored fingernails. What was it, Utah game? He had his fingernails that said F Utah. Like, he's different and he does different stuff, and people automatically hate different. Caleb Williams is different, so they hate him.
Text line 913-586-7610. Trevor Lawrence won and appeared in national championships. Trevor Lawrence played on the best team in college football. He had an actual defense. He had an actual defense last year. This just feels like a personality thing with Caleb. That's just not evaluating his play. Like right here, simple. Trevor Lawrence did things right. What in the hell does that mean? what does do things right mean? Caleb Williams was better than he was. Caleb Williams is a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence was coming into the NFL. One guy just looks the part. The other one doesn't. I don't get what there is to dislike about Caleb Williams, the football player, when you watch him play.
I don't get what there is. I think he has a chance of being an absolute star in the league. If you look at C.J. Stroud and the player that he's turned into, I don't know how you don't see a lot of the same similarities in what I think Caleb Williams can be. And we're usually really high on players who show it early on in their career, right? If you do it as a true freshman, we're usually really high on you. That's what Caleb Williams was. Remember, they tried the whole Spencer Rattler thing. It then became very clear he's not the best quarterback on your team. It's Caleb Williams. And then for the next, I would say, 2.5 years, I think he was the clear and away best quarterback in college football. A no-brainer number one overall pick. Certainly the missed Justin Fields. Justin Fields is incredibly average.
Justin Fields about to back up Russell Wilson. Just to give you an idea of what they think of him. Now, I haven't really delved into Steeler camp yet. Maybe he's taking the lead, but he's about to back up the corniest quarterback we know. I mean, that has to say something about Justin Fields. But I just think, and it's a lot of the texts, he's a diva. He's all about himself. He's just all the, platitudes we hear about guys who are different. I think he's going to set the league on fire.
Someone on the text line, CDOT, prospect this, prospect that. You know who wasn't highly rated coming out of college? Patrick Mahomes. He was the 10th overall pick. What are we talking about? He wasn't highly rated coming out of college. He was the 10th pick. It ain't like we talking about Patrick Mahomes was Brock Purdy and came out of nowhere. It's not like Patrick Mahomes was Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson. He was the 10th pick in the draft. What are we talking about? Wasn't highly rated coming out of college. He was a surefire top. A team moved from 27 to 10 to get him. I would say people really like Patrick Mahomes coming out of college. I would say he was incredibly highly rated. Someone else says, I don't like the fact that Caleb Williams was declining interviews with teams at the combine. There was only one team to talk to. He was the number one overall pick. We're mad at Caleb Williams for not sitting down and talking to the Commanders when we knew that they weren't going to draft him. That seems like a waste of my time and your time. We wanted Caleb Williams to sit down with the Giants. They're not drafting me. I know what team I'm going to. I'll talk to the Bears. Why would I talk to these teams? No, I don't get it. It's weird to me with Caleb. Very, very weird. Especially when, there's some guys like jump out on the screen, right? And for a sport that tried to convince me about J.J. McCarthy for the last 6 months, they tried to convince me about J.J. McCarthy like he didn't go to Michigan. They tried to convince us about him like he went to the same college that Josh Allen went to, that he went to Wyoming. We saw J.J. McCarthy play. Never jumped off the screen. Now you're telling me this guy's a franchise quarterback? I feel like we've known about Caleb Williams the first time I saw him play football. That game against Texas, the first time he got in. I feel like we've known Caleb Williams is a special prospect since the first time we saw him play. Oh, he's good. He's really good. He's the best player to ever enter the transfer portal. You got somebody else?
You're right. I said never thought of it like that. He is the absolute best player ever into the portal.
Someone on the text line says Mahomes was a projected second round pick, but he went 10. What's that? A projected second round pick. I don't care where you were projected. Where do they actually take you? You went 10th overall. Now we're going to make it like Mahomes is being counted out. Let's stop it. We don't have to do this. We really don't have to do this. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to baseball. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, we'll be joined by George Brett, the Hall of Fame baseball player, will join us coming up in about 25 minutes or so. I got a chance to talk to him for about 30 minutes. Really excited to play that for you guys. This is only the second time that George Brett has come on our show. You know the rules. The rules apply to just about everybody. You have to come on the show 3 times for us to put you in the friend of the show category. Hopefully it's not another decade in between his appearances. The last time that George Brett was on the show was at the 2012 All-Star Game. So, you know, happy to know that George Brett is back on the show today. We'll play that conversation for you here coming up in just a bit. Rob, I didn't get a chance to really ask you this question last week, so I apologize. Let's talk about it now. I think this weekend was the most Royals thing that could happen. The Royals won their series against the White Sox. They swept the White Sox. They then lost the two series to Arizona, and they lost the series to the Cubs. Now, it could have gone either way. The Royals probably should have won on Wednesday and blew that game late. The Royals could have won on Sunday and won the rubber match of each of those series. But the Royals did what they've done basically the entire year. They pounded on the White Sox. They have a winning home stand, so they win 5 of the 9 games that they've played since the All-Star break. But you let a couple of slip through your fingers, and you played over 500 baseball, but you had a chance to go 7-2, 6-3 on this stretch, and you end up going 5-4, largely because you played the White Sox. If you look at their record so far, they are 9-1 against the White Sox. They are 500 against every other team in baseball. Once we hit August, there are no more games against the White Sox this season. They play the White Sox today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So July 29th, 30th, and 31st. I'm going to assume that they're going to win this series against the White Sox. They're 9-1 against them. The Royals are good, and the White Sox are the opposite of good. They are worse than bad. They are the worst team in baseball with a bullet point. They make the Oakland A's look like the Philadelphia Phillies. That's how bad they are. But once we get to August, they are done with the Chicago White Sox. And now it is going to be on you to start winning these series. And we are past the point of having the conversation about treading water. Treading water was a good April conversation to have, a good May and June conversation to have. Once we get past tomorrow and the trade window is closed and we head into August and it is 2 months to determine if you're going to make the postseason or not, all of that tread water conversation, that is over. You got important series against Boston, important series against Minnesota, Cleveland. You play Cleveland 7 times over the next 30 days. The conversation about them playing 500 ball and just keeping their head above water, if you're talking about them making the postseason, it's about winning series, taking care of business, and doing what you need to do. So the conversation about the White Sox is about to be in our rear mirror here by the end of the week. By the time football officially starts, we will be done with the Chicago White Sox, and it's time for you to start winning these series and winning some of these 50-50 games against decent teams.
The good news, and I think it's glass half full, glass half empty. If you want to be glass half full, Carrington, yes, they've pounded the White Sox, just shown them no mercy, 9-1, and I honestly cannot remember the one the Royals lost to the White Sox. It seems like when those two teams play, it's like a minor league game against a major league club. It's just, it's very one-sided. But they've also played well in their matchups with Cleveland and Detroit. Remember, they have a winning record against Cleveland. They still have a lot of games left against the Guardians, including they've won 3 of 4 at home. They have a 4-2 record against the Tigers. They have a 4-game set coming up in Detroit later this week against the Tigers. Like, it's not just the White Sox. Save the Twins, the Royals have done a really good job of taking care of business within their own division. Now, if you want to tell me sample size, cool, whatever, I won't fight you. But it is glass half full of, there are still a lot of games left with the division other than the White Sox, and they have played well against the division. The negative is, you're 5 games back in the division, and you're holding on to a wild card spot, and the teams that are all around you in the wild card race are teams that you have not played better than recently or are not better than on paper. So the glass half full is, hey, there's a lot of Guardians, there's a lot of Twins, and there's a lot of Tigers still on the schedule, and you've played well against those teams. You're not out of the AL Central race because you've played well against those teams. The bad news is the other teams, the wild card race, the Red Sox, you've struggled with. The Rays, you've struggled with. Like, those are the teams that you kind of need to also gobble up some wins against if you're going to make the postseason. But I think there is a glass half full view to their struggles against a lot of teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, a very simple way of putting it, you have done, I would say, a majority of the heavy lifting, and now you have given yourself a chance. You're giving yourself a chance. The Royals, we are almost on the other side of this thing. They have played over 100 games. We're getting closer to 110 games for the Royals. They have done it. If you thought this was a team that was going to fall by the wayside, if you thought this was a feel-good story, I think the Royals have proven that they are past that. There are three more of those games left on their schedule. There are no more of them on the schedule for the team. All the bad teams in baseball, they are done with at the end of this week. Now, not every team you play is above 500. Detroit's not above 500. They might be trading their best pitcher. Cincinnati's hovering around 500. I'm not saying every game you have the rest of the way is an absolute juggernaut. But other than the Angels, you don't play another bad team the rest of the way. So if you're going to make the postseason, it is what happened on Wednesday to Arizona can be the reason why you missed the postseason. When you've got a Cubs team at home that they are unsure if they want to be a buyer or a seller, you got to figure out a way to win two or three of those series if you've got that team at home. A lot of the leeway and grace that they've sort of built up, at least for the postseason, this could still be a fun year. Hey, they win 85 games. You're disappointed that they made the postseason, didn't make it, but they created a good foundation to get you excited for next year. That is obviously still a possibility. And I guess one of the possible scenarios, but this team can still make the postseason. But very soon, it is going to be about you winning series that are not against the Chicago White Sox and getting hot and getting on a roll aside from them. This team had a winning homestand because the White Sox were on their schedule. All right, now you got the White Sox on the road. You got three of your next seven against them. Win that series, sweep the White Sox, do what you need to do against the Tigers, come back home for two really important series. You got three games against the team that is directly behind you in the wild card hunt, and then the St. Louis Cardinals. You know there's going to be big crowds. Shaq is DJing next Friday night. This is going to be these next 2 weeks for the Royals, and that's going to be the case the rest of the way, are really, really important building blocks if this team is going to make the postseason or not.
I also think what you're saying explains why the Royals aren't all in at the trade deadline. Now, there's still 26 hours until the deadline, 25 hours till the deadline comes and goes. Maybe over time, I'll look like an idiot for saying this, but the Royals have been relatively cautious in the market. They've made, you know, quiet moves. Hey, Hunter Harvey and now Michael Lorenzen. The text line would have traded everything to get Jazz Chisholm. The Yankees did that. The text line would have traded everything for that Angels closer whose name escapes me. The Phillies did that. The Royals not operating that way. I think the Royals, for better or worse, understand what they are. They're a competitive, good ball club who can find their way into the playoffs because baseball expanded the playoffs, but they understand that this is step one in a process. Okay, I think you'll understand this analogy. We both watch a lot of college sports. When a coach gets hired in a new regime, whether it be college basketball or college football, year one is always like figuring it out. And then you build off that and you propel forward. That's kind of how I view the Royals this year. Hey, they're figuring it out. They're not a team that's going to compete at the highest of high levels, but they're figuring it out, and these steps are important. It's program building more than it is flash in a pan. So if JJ and John Sherman and co. want to build sustained winning over there, don't go all in and understand what you are. You're a 500-ish ball club that throttles one of the worst teams we've seen in baseball history, but that doesn't mean you can't be a postseason team, but don't give up everything to be a 90-win team when in reality you're an 86-win team.
I forgot to talk about this because we were talking so much about Caleb Williams in the last segment, and I don't know how you and I are the only people that like the number one overall pick, but that's perfectly fine. Someone on the text line, 913-586-7610, he asked this question. Hey, CDOT, have you seen the story about L'Jarius Sneed, how he is not participating in a practice yet for the Titans? Obviously still early, but can you talk about your current thoughts on the trade? Everything that is happening is what we told you on this show, and no one believed us. L'Jarius Sneed's knees are not in good shape. I know the Chiefs have you believing that the reason they didn't pay him is because they have Trent McDuffie on the other side. They didn't pay him because they know what I know. His knees are not in good shape. And it was one thing when he was on his rookie contract. It is now another thing to try to hope that they can hold up for a 2-3-4 year guarantee that he was asking for. The Chiefs at no point negotiated and tried to keep L'Jarius Sneed on the team. They have been monitoring this thing from the very, very beginning. And once that rookie contract was up, they could not wait to get out from under it. It maybe took 80 cents on the dollar just because they didn't want to be tied to it anymore, because physically he is not going to hold up. So I have nothing but respect for L'Jarius Sneed. I hope that it works in Tennessee. I am happy that he cashed out. It was confusing for those 2-3 weeks why he didn't cash out and why he didn't just press the button and take the money. Like, he was playing deal or no deal, and I was very concerned on why you kept choosing to pick more cases. No, the banker offered you $200,000. You need to walk away and stop playing this game. So nothing that is happening right now with L'Jarius Sneed is surprising to me. His knees are not in good shape. They weren't in good shape last year. They were just able to hold on long enough. You know the comparison I would make for him is? The comparison is probably Kawhi Leonard. Rob, we knew, NBA fans, you knew Kawhi that last year with the Raptors. It was a miracle that they got him to hold on to the postseason and to win the championship that way. His body hasn't been the same since that run. He's maybe had one decent run in the last 5 years. I think we're going to see that L'Jarius Sneed is very, very similar. And I think more and more, it's just going to come out. His knees are in really, really bad shape.
I feel like, first and foremost, credit to this show for being the one that pointed out his health issues. I was here when we were saying, hey, there's health concern, and the text line was like, well, he didn't miss any games, guys, so he must be healthy. There were health concerns. I also think the trade is a win for the Chiefs if they get other players signed up long term. This is not me being like, you know, cap guy. This is not me being like, oh, you got to, you know, massage money guy. This is just the fact of life in the National Football League. The way it is set up is you can't pay everyone. You just can't. You got to walk on some people. So the Chiefs decided to walk on L'Jarius Sneed. They decided, we don't want that contract. We're going to trade him. And hopefully they can then use that, you know, space they created by not paying him to pay a Trent McDuffie, to pay a George Karloftis. They probably use that money to pay Chris Jones. Like, what happened with Sneed was you can't pay everyone. And this show was the one saying, he's one of the guys I wouldn't pay. Here are the reasons why. And fans thought, no, you guys are nuts. They didn't pay Sneed. I think they made the right call not paying Sneed. Now let's see what they do with this financial flexibility they have. They signed Chris Jones. That's a good decision. Now let's see if they sign a Trent McDuffie long-term or a George Karloftis long-term, which you might not have been able to do if you were strapped down with L'Jarius Sneed's cap number based on what it is in Tennessee.
I don't want to spend too much time talking about this because I'm sure it will anger some of you, but this is a message that I think you need to hear. This is a message that I hope reaches you in health and in good spirit. And I want you to know that this next take and opinion comes from a very, very pure place. It does. And I'm going to tell you something that other people might be a little bit afraid to tell you, but somebody in your life needs to tell you this. None of us care if you are boycotting the Olympics. None of us. I'm serious. None of us. Not a single one of us cares if you are boycotting the Olympics. For whatever reason you may be boycotting the Olympics for. I don't know what you could be boycotting the Olympics for. I saw this weekend, it was a lot on social media. A lot of people are upset, and you are always entitled to be upset about whatever you want to be upset about. I'm also entitled to tell you, we do not care. Just don't watch it. Don't watch it. I've enjoyed watching the Olympics. I've enjoyed watching handball. I've enjoyed watching swimming. I've enjoyed watching basketball. I've enjoyed watching Snoop Dogg just go around and just hang out with everybody. I've enjoyed watching the women's water polo team. Did you hear the story that Flavor Flav is the sponsor for the women's polo, the women's water polo team? Because some of the players were going to have to quit because you have to work multiple jobs to be able to support yourself and continue to play women's water polo. They have won 4 gold medals in a row. They're going for their 5th. And Flavor Flav heard this story and wanted to help out and donated money so they could continue to play. I have enjoyed the Olympics. I can't wait to continue to watch the Olympics. We got the Olympics on right now. People are playing handball. I want to know why growing up we didn't play more handball. Think of all the nonsense. Why have we played tetherball before, but none of us have played handball? This is a game that I would have loved to have played as a youth, as a child. So I just want to pass this one message to you. I really do. And I'm serious. I hope that this meets you, and I hope that you are healthy and well, and I hope that you are drinking all the water and taking care of your skin. I hope those things. I just want to tell you that none of us care if you are boycotting the Olympics. We really don't. The rest of us are enjoying it, and you're missing out. I don't want you to miss out. I try to tell you when cool things are happening in sports all the time. You guys rarely want to know when other cool things are happening. Cool things are happening. France and Norway are playing handball right now. It's great. It's really, really good, actually. It's really good. I would encourage you to watch it, is what I would do. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by George Brett, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. He will join us on the show. Before we do that, let me play for you one thing that J.J. Piccolo had to say. You guys know that the Royals made a trade earlier today. Michael Lorenzen, he is the newest member of the Kansas City Royals. I'm guessing he will be in uniform for them later today as they head to Chicago. Here is what J.J. Piccolo said that he sees the role for Michael Lorenzen is.
Still to be determined. You know, we still have to get a handle on what's going on with Schreiber. We feel fine about Hunter Harvey, but we got to see how he feels today. But it's to be determined. We know he started this year. He's thrown in relief. He's filled both roles. So in a lot of ways, he is very, very good insurance for us, regardless of what his role. And we think it'll just play out in time.
You know what? You know what I like about the Royals? They're always on brand. They don't really surprise me very often. You know, they don't surprise me. The trade deadline was here. We knew they weren't going to be big time spenders, and they made two trades. They haven't been big time spenders. They've been two moves that I like. They have been two moves that make sense. They have been moves that I think have added to the rotation, added to the bullpen. I like both of the moves. These were low cost. One gives you a little bit more club control than the other one, but today you sign a guy who was an all-star in 2023. You sign him he's on a one-year deal. You can walk away at the end of this thing. You see if he can help you out. He's a veteran pitcher, pitched in a lot of different spots, a lot of different situations. He's a low-end four or five that can also give you a little middle relief. I like what the Royals did today. I think it makes a lot of sense for where they are. All right, coming up on the other side, we are honored to be joined by, simply put, one of the best baseball players in Major League Baseball history, 13-time All-Star George Brett will join us on the show. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.